Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is Wednesday. Free agent frenzy continues, especially with quarterbacks live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Super agent Drew Rosenhaus joins me in 1 hour, and Joy Taylor is joining me here live, of course. Joy, how are you?
Better than Bears fans.
Oh. Just a couple things you got to get right as a GM. You can make mistakes. That quarterback thing is pretty important.
That was a disappointment yesterday, to say the least.
So the Bears settled 1 year, $10 million on Andy Dalton. We love to blame coaches, and we love to blame quarterbacks. Yesterday was lousy GMing by Ryan Pace of the Bears. So since he took the job, here's the four quarterbacks he's gone and acquired. Mike Glennon cost him a fortune, traded for him. Mike Glennon traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. Didn't have to, could have still landed him. Nick Foles made him the most expensive backup in the NFL. And then Andy Dalton, nice guy, but this is an easy one. The Bears offense needs a playmaker. It's why Mitch Trubisky actually won. Marcus Mariota is a better fit than Dalton. Sam Darnold, hard to get, perhaps, better fit than Dalton. Deshaun Watson, perfect, probably couldn't afford him. The worst literal fit for this Bears offense, which is an average offensive line, outside of Allen Robinson, very weak skill people. The worst fit is a non-playmaking distributor with a low ceiling. That's Andy Dalton. Marcus Mariota worked here. I mean, in order of perfect fit, Deshaun 1, Darnold 2, Mariota 3, Trubisky 4. Remember, Trubisky shouldn't have won games in Chicago. It's the windiest city in America. Northern, cold weather, and they also played road games, you know, like in Green Bay. Not a very strong arm, and not a very gifted thrower. And it's windy. He should never have won games. But he actually did. Why? Because he's a good athlete. And he ran around, and despite an average offensive line, and Tariq Cohen gets hurt, and one decent receiver, Mitch Trubisky has a winning record. His, like, all-time winning percentage is, like, right around Bill Parcells. He actually won games. I think Matt Nagy's a pretty clever coach. But when there are indications in Andy's career, and they're right in a resume, that if you give him a lot of good targets, early Cincinnati and Dallas last year, you can win games with Andy Dalton. I mean, Dallas, if you count the game he came back against the Giants, he was 5-5. But you can't ask Andy to make plays with average wide receivers and an average O-line. And not only is Ryan Pace, the GM, bad at the quarterback thing, he's not good at the public perception thing. And that matters in a city like Chicago. It's the third biggest city in America, highly educated. This is a city of smart sports fans. They know what they're doing. The smartest people in the Midwest gravitate to Chicago. And you got smart, a lot of college degrees. They know their sports. There's a lot of history. You can't fool Chicago sports fans. They're a little bit like Boston fans, but nicer. And Ryan Pace butchers the public perception thing. Remember years ago, he went and he signed Mike Glennon to a huge contract. They had a draft party, and he drafts Mitch Trubisky with Mike Glennon at the draft party. Not good. Then he gets involved in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes. Those go public. There's a multiple stories out today on those. And he settles for Andy Dalton. So listen, you can make a lot of mistakes as a GM. But when you get in a Boston or a New York or a Philly or a Chicago, you get into these diehard northern sports towns, you got to get the quarterback right. And you got to get the public perception stuff right. Chicago's got teeth as a sports town. And, right, that was lousy GMing. Like, this is the worst literal fit. And Matt Nagy's going to lose his job over this. And he can coach. By the way, The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. All right, let's shift to something more optimistic. So Deshaun Watson, I've stayed off this for the last couple of days because I really don't know where it's going. So Deshaun Watson, like Russell Wilson, has now given teams. He doesn't want to play with Miami. He doesn't want to play in New York. He doesn't appear to want to play in Carolina. Deshaun Watson came out and said, I want to be in Denver or San Francisco. Okay, if you're Denver and John Elway, since Peyton Manning left, is 0-9 on quarterbacks. John Elway's smart, went to Stanford, great quarterback. He can't get it right. If you are Denver, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, get on the phone and get it done. You have, when Deshaun Watson comes out, he has a no trade clause and says, as two teams I really want to play for, you're one of them. And you got to think about your surroundings. So think about the division Denver is in now. They not only have to face Mahomes, Mahomes has Andy Reid. Oh boy. They not only have to face Justin Herbert, but Tom Telesco, the GM, just signed the best center. They're upgrading their O-line. Oh boy. You not only have to face Gruden and Carr, well, you face Gruden and Carr. Laugh at the Raiders all you want. Those two work. The last 2 years, those two work. Translation, you're going to be in 6 shootouts, minimum a year. You're going to be in 6 shootouts. You do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson. Because when the quarterback has a no trade clause, for the record, this is why Chicago went after Russell. Because Russell said, I'm going to play there. Okay, you get on the phone. Okay. And this is the new NFL. The LA Rams, the two best quarterback divisions in football are the AFC West and the NFC West. The LA Rams had Jared Goff. He won 70% of his games with McVay. He won 10 games last year in a playoff game. And they're like, no, it's not good enough. Because we got Kyler Murray in our division. He's getting better. And we've got Russell Wilson twice a year in our division. And Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo, or Kyle Shanahan and anybody, has owned us in Los Angeles. And so they upgraded over a winning quarterback, Jared Goff. So Denver is in probably even a better quarterback division than the Rams, and they're bad. The Rams are in a little less viable quarterback division, and they were good. So, like, to me, this is, if here's some numbers for you that are pretty staggering. You would have thought, and I had John Elway on the show about a year ago and talked about this. You'd think Elway could get the quarterback right. Maybe he struggles drafting defense. It's the opposite. Since Peyton Manning has retired, this is staggering. Denver is 30th in completion percentage, 31st in passing touchdowns, and 31st in passer rating. You can solve all of those with a move. So you get very fortunate when a star quarterback, he's been in the league a few years, he's got a no-trade clause. So Carolina yesterday came out, and apparently they're all in on Deshaun Watson. He has shown no interest to play for Carolina. So that can just be a pipe dream. He literally listed two teams, San Francisco and Denver. And it should be noted, San Francisco would probably love him, but they just made Trent Williams the highest paid left tackle. And remember, Bosa's contract's up next year, and Kittle's contract is a year away from exploding. And they just paid their fullback, the highest fullback contract. So San Francisco would love to get kind of inexpensive at quarterback. That's why it makes sense for the Niners to move up. They have the 12th pick, move up, get that Trey Lance. Then Trent Williams' contract doesn't mean anything. Bosa's contract, Kittle's contract, it don't mean anything. So, I mean, the cap, you can manipulate all of it. We'll talk to Drew Rosenhaus in an hour. You can manipulate all of this stuff. But if you look at San Francisco, they've got now the highest paid fullback, highest paid left tackle. George Kittle will be the second highest paid tight end. They got a lot of highest paid guys. And you would like to get really cheap at quarterback. Sam Darnold is cheap for a year and probably not too expensive after that. But I could when I saw Deshaun Watson say San Francisco, I thought, yeah, it'd be great. Denver doesn't have that many contracts. They've got a lot of young offensive pieces. So Deshaun says, interested in Denver. Denver's got easily the 4th best quarterback. John Elway's 0-9. That is the door now swings open for Denver. Make calls. That is a game-changing, franchise-changing opportunity when the star quarterback names you. And he did.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Seattle-Chicago stuff, I always like this. When I hear something from sources and then like 4 or 5 days later it comes out and it's all true. And I think, okay, I had good sourcing on this. So about 4 or 5 days ago, I said, Chicago's making a huge run. Somebody I trust, a huge run on Russell Wilson. They're meeting, they're talking, and Seattle's listening. And so Ian Rappaport's a great NFL reporter, came out and said that, yes, Ryan Pace and John Snyder met in North Dakota right after Trey Lance's pro day. They sat down, they talked, offers were exchanged. The Bears made a big offer, multiple first-round picks. That's what I was told. Seahawks slept on it. Seahawks discussed it. And then yesterday, Pete Carroll said, I'm 70, I'm too old to rebuild again, and that's how it ends. They're going to keep Russell Wilson. Now, the age thing is something this show, every show talked about. It was obvious. It's why Nick Saban to Texas, remember those rumors years ago? I was like, Nick's like 65. I'm not sure if he wants to rebuild again at 65 years old. Rebuilding is like a 50-year-old guy thing. It's not a 70 or late 60-year-old guy thing. And so this is the best result for Seattle, obviously. First of all, you were never going to get fair trade value. Second of all, there's a ton of dead cap money. And third, there was no quarterback exchange. The Raiders made a little sense because you could get Derek Carr. Chicago didn't make much sense. So, and the other thing is, I don't think Pete and Russell were ever meant to be close. There are quarterback coaching connections that I think feel like they should work. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's he's a mentor. He's a very clever play designer, and Patrick Mahomes, a very clever playmaker. Perfect. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, both intense, both smart and clever, both innovative. That works. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, young, successful, good-looking, always looking for new stuff guys. Those feel like they should work. But Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, it's not really ideal. At best, it should be respectful and professional. Pete, 70, defensive-minded, would prefer running the ball, likes control, bit of a rock star. Russell Wilson's always been overlooked, would rather pass the ball. He's young. He has an ad-lib component in the offense that really makes him. Pete's not a big fan of ad-libbing. So this has never felt like a perfect relationship. By the way, Brady Belichick was never perfect. One guy was happier, one guy was grumpier, but they did start at the bottom together. That mattered. So remember, Belichick was on the hot seat after that first year in New England, and here's Brady. So they started at the bottom together, and they were both aspirational. But if you look at it in Seattle, this relationship's always felt a little uneven, that Pete's gotten more credit than Russell. And you have to remember, Pete was already a rock star when he got there. Okay? And then even when he drafted Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson started blowing us all away, Pete got credit for it. Oh, Pete found him. Unbelievable. Pete Carroll's unbelievable. So Russell didn't even get credit for being great. It was, Pete found him in the third round. And then Russell, add to that, never gotten an MVP vote. Sacked 400 times in 9 years. Doesn't get much say in the offense. I'm not making excuses, but I get Russell Wilson and what's in his head right now. I get hit a lot. I got no say. I don't get an MVP vote. And even when I broke into this league and shocked the franchise, the coach got credit. So this relationship to me, it's not ideal. It's a little uneven in terms of who's getting credit and who has the power. But I think Brady and Belichick figured it out. Do you have the same goal? Are you both aspirational? Yes, yes. And You just make it work.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
My buddy Nick Wright is now joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, I know you love Chicago. I love Chicago's a great sports town. And Ryan Pace is not popular today. The Andy Dalton, I could argue, is the literal worst fit possible. What was your, for a city you love and go to occasionally, what was your takeaway on Andy Dalton to the Bears?
Well, anytime you have the opportunity to sign a guy for no draft compensation and $3 million, and you're like, no, instead we'll give Nick Foles $21 million and a fourth round pick, and then a year later give the guy you could have signed $10 million and you still have Foles, it's not a great day for you, Colin. And when it's leaked out, like, hey, Russell Wilson wants to be there and you can't make that trade happen, it only compounds it. I happen to think Matt Nagy might be a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
If you look at Matt Nagy, I think he's like 28-20. And you look at the quarterback situation, it's like, oh, I just think Pace's first big decision was hiring John Fox. That wasn't great. He traded up for Mitch Trubisky. That wasn't great. The quarterback situation, it hasn't been great, and I saw you lay out the reasons that Dalton is the exact wrong option and the different quarterback decisions he's made. It's not ideal, and if you're Chicago, if you're a Bears fan, I would be a little nervous in this regard, not just because you have Andy Dalton as your quarterback, that always makes you nervous, but because there is nothing more dangerous in sports than having a GM who knows, if I don't win right now, I'm fired. Because he doesn't have to then worry about the future of the franchise. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears make some type of impulsive move to try to coat over what is the quarterback situation. And also, Colin, one last thing. I think you've said this, but I just want to reiterate the point. Since Sid Luckman, the best quarterback they've had is Jay Cutler. That's 70 years, and the best they've had is Jay Cutler. That ain't great. It's really not great.
So, by the way, Elway's 0-9 since Peyton Manning, and Deshaun Watson, I mean, if I'm John Elway, and I read in the paper this morning, Deshaun Watson says, I want to play for Denver, San Francisco. I don't even think there's a ceiling on what I could give. I mean, Elway basically had to step out of the GM role because he couldn't get the quarterback right. Otherwise, he'd still be there.
That's right.
So your takeaway on Deshaun just naming Denver?
My takeaway is if Deshaun is traded, he will be the most valuable player ever traded in NFL history. Now, we've had better players traded. Randy Moss got traded. But a 25-year-old franchise quarterback on a reasonable contract, there has never been a more valuable, if you want to use this term, asset that changed hands in NFL history. So there is no price too high to pay, especially when you're Denver. And the one time you've gotten the quarterback situation right was, oddly enough, when Houston could have signed Peyton Manning but wanted to stick with Matt Schaub, so he picked you as his second choice. Since Elway, they've gotten the quarterback right once, and it's when Peyton Manning fell in their lap. So I agree with you. Now, I am a little disappointed because your old buddy Nick Wright is old enough to remember when Uncle Colin was Drew Lock this, Drew Lock that. Are we sure about Mahomes? I love Drew Lock. Now you're throwing him out with yesterday's garbage, but, you know, it's better late than never. I agree with you. If he wants to go to Denver, anything you can trade would not be too much.
So now the word's out. Ian Rappaport's Seattle, Chicago, they met, they talked, there were offers, they slept on it. And Pete Carroll's like, I'm 70, I don't want to rebuild. You know, I look at it and I think, you know, Russell did kind of call out the offensive line. It's not great. I do feel that Pete's gotten too much credit, Russell not enough for the success. Where do you stand on that relationship today?
Well, where I stand is it's very, I think both parties are somewhat misplaying their hand. Seattle, I think, is misplaying it because if the guy wanted offensive linemen, why didn't you sign one? Kevin Zeitler was available. He played with Russ at Wisconsin. Baltimore grabs him. Joe Tooney's available. The Chiefs get him. Trent Williams, I guess he wasn't going to leave San Francisco as they gave him all that money. He stays there. Like, the quality offensive linemen that you could have signed are going by the wayside. I think Russ misplayed his hand because his list was a bad list, Colin. You had Dallas. If Dallas was going to trade Russ for Dak, fine, but they weren't, so take them off. You have the Saints. He might as well have demanded a trade to the Brooklyn Nets. It has likelihood of happening. The Saints can't make the money work. You have Chicago. Chicago was interested, but Chicago can't provide the draft pick to get you the quarterback. And then you had the Raiders, seemingly because Russ wanted a good offensive line, and the Raiders' answer to that was, how about we cut all of our offensive linemen? And so now I feel like unless Russ is going to come up with a new list, Seattle is sitting there saying, well, is the grass always greener? My answer would be your franchise in its entire history had pre-Russell Wilson had one kind of fun moment with Matt Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander. And other than that, you've been the team in the Pacific Northwest that nobody really cares about. And then you had Russell Wilson, and you are a premier franchise. Do everything you need to do to make him happy, but it doesn't seem like that's the route they're wanting to take. And I don't know that Russ has a great option, at least this offseason, as far as a team that's going to trade for him.
So I was, and Joy and I had said, Cam Newton, bring him back. There's not a lot of options on the market. You're not going to get Darnold. I thought it made sense. And, you know, I said yesterday, if you'd have said this a couple years ago, the greatest quarterback ever left a franchise, and you'd be like, well, how did they do the next year? They were 7-9 in a pandemic. And then the next year, they brought the quarterback back, and they actually went 10-6. You'd be like, well, that's not terrible. Brady's just been so successful that it makes New England look pathetic. Right. And then the free agency happens, and I'm like, they look like a playoff team again with Cam Newton. They honestly do this morning. That your takeaway on their free agency frenzy.
Well, I think that the playoff team might come down to is Cam healthier? Because, and you know, I love Cam. And I've watched every game Cam's played as a pro, in part because I think I've bet on Cam in almost every game he's played as a pro. It hasn't always worked out for me. But he did not look right last year. He was one-hopping passes with some regularity. Let's assume he's right. Then, yeah, I think they absolutely, especially with the expanded playoffs, can contend. And who's to say Buffalo won't take a step back? Hey, Bills Mafia, I'm still here, still doubting you guys. But I do think the free agency frenzy, the bigger story there is, it's Bill Belichick tacitly admitting he has blown it in the draft the last half decade. They signed two tight ends. Well, they drafted two third-round tight ends a year ago. They signed two wide receivers. Well, they drafted a first-round receiver and traded a second-rounder for Mohamed Sanu a couple years ago. They have not been able to hit on these draft picks. Here is a wild stat, Colin. Aside from their punter, the last Pro Bowler the Patriots drafted was Jamie Collins in 2013.
Wow.
So one of the reasons you got to go out there and spend is because Bill Belichick, the head coach, has been an A+. But Bill Belichick, the GM, has had some rough moments up to and including evaluating Tom Brady, I suppose, and saying, you know what? Nick Wright has it right. The guy's cooked. He shouldn't have listened to me. He should have listened to everyone else who said, maybe you stick with the GOAT. Maybe you just run it back with Tom Brady.
Let me ask you a basketball question. Have to. You are an advocate of all things sure. LeBron James. Once again, as I've said with Anthony Davis, he's not an 82-game guy. That's not who he is. We don't want our quarterbacks throwing 60 times a game. We don't want our running backs with 40 carries. It's okay to realize certain players give you certain things. AD, to me, is 58 games. Rest him in playoffs. That does beg the question. So the Lakers have a winning record without AD and just LeBron carrying them. He is the MVP, right? Like, it feels obvious, right?
Well, right. It was very close. It was LeBron with an Embiid or Embiid with LeBron. But Embiid's, the biggest thing against him was he had missed a half dozen games, and now he's going to be out a few more weeks. And now it's LeBron and a massive gap between he and everyone else. But I will tell you what's going to happen, Colin. What's going to happen is LeBron is going to stay for a lot of people. Watch this now. He'll be in second place all year, and the person in first is going to rotate. It was Embiid. Here in about a week, you know what it's going to be? You know who the MVP is. Nothing against LeBron. It's James Harden. And then a few weeks after that, when Kevin Durant comes back and Harden's numbers go down a bit, you know what people are going to say? Guys, we can't hold the playoffs against Giannis. It's a regular season award. Nothing against LeBron. Giannis is the MVP. And I can't wait for it. By the end of the season, you know what the argument's going to be?
What?
Guys, Nikola Jokic, look at his numbers. The Joker, he's the MVP. And this whole time, we're going to be like, or it's the best guy on the best team who plays damn near every night. And I'm going to add a little bonus take for you, Colin.
All right.
In 2017 and 2018, one of the reasons people argued against voting for LeBron, 2017, coming off the title, 2018, when Kyrie had left and the Cavs were still awesome, was because, guys, you got to play both ways. And LeBron doesn't care about defense. Well, right now, the Lakers have the number one defense in basketball by a mile. The gap between them and second place is bigger than the gap between second place and 10th place. And Anthony Davis isn't anchoring that defense. LeBron James is. So if it's going to be LeBron versus Harden or LeBron versus Jokic, and you've held defense against him when he was lackadaisical on that end, then this year, when he's a defensive player of the year candidate, it's got to work for him. So I disagreed with you and Joy last year. Last year, I thought Giannis was the MVP. This year, up to this point, there's no question it's LeBron James. And that's not because I'm an advocate for all things LeBron James, as you said it. I'm an advocate for truth and fairness in media.
Yes.
And that, my friend, is truth and fairness in media.
That was one of your stronger
bonus takes.
I hear
Joy snickering.
No. That was just a bonus take. I mean, that was a bonus take. That wasn't even one of your takes. That was a very strong bonus take. Seriously, that's
I am snickering, though.
The chef comes out at the end of the meal, gives you free something, you know, a little something. It's the best thing in the meal. You'd be like, wow, that was a good freebie.
Yeah.
Excellent work, Nick Wright. Appreciate that. Correct. First things first.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, Raiders have a very good center, Rodney Hudson. They did. He wanted out. They granted him a wish. Rodney Hudson, center for the Raiders, is on the market. Seattle, hello. This is a great opportunity, okay? Rodney Hudson is a top 6 or 7, 8 center in the NFL. So Seattle's offensive line, which has been the big agitation play with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And Pete, his offensive line moves have been hit and miss, USC and Seattle. Hit and miss. So I never liked that he gave up Max Unger. So Duane Brown's a very good left tackle. That's not the issue. Last year, John Snyder and Pete draft Damian Lewis, right guard. Very nice fit, but they're weak at center and don't have a left guard and average at best at right tackle. If you bring in Rodney Hudson, you not only now probably have a top 10 offensive line with an elite left tackle, an elite center, Damian Lewis at right guard looks like a real player, but you also, not only do you offer an olive branch to Russell Wilson, but there's a little strategery involved, is that Pete Carroll's gotten clobbered in Seattle and by the national press for the last year. Pete signs Rodney Hudson. The weakest part of their team right now is corner because Shaq Griffin left and O-line. Now the pressure swings over to Russell Wilson's side. It's like, hey, okay, we got you left tackle who's top 6, center that's top 5, 6. We took care of this. And we got you DK Metcalf. Then all of a sudden, Pete can say, all right, we got your new offensive coordinator. And I saw this morning, Jake Heaps is a former college quarterback and a very good friend of Russell Wilson. And he went to Twitter and said, I'd be very disappointed if the Seahawks don't make a move on Rodney Hudson. That's probably coming from Russell Wilson. I know, Jake, and that's coming, and that's fine. Russell doesn't want to go out there again. So this is a great opportunity to upgrade the O-line. Pete likes to run the football anyway. Rodney Hudson's a great O-lineman. Seattle's a little lucky. It's a pretty good offensive line. It's a very good center market right now in free agency. Chargers just got Cole Linsley, who's probably the best or second best in the league. Olive Branch, push the pressure now on Russell Wilson. We got your new OC, got your good O-line, got your DK Metcalf. Boom. Interesting idea.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Drew Rosenhaus, graduate of Miami and Duke, great Duke Law School. Miami's got a good law school too, by the way. He was a sports agent back in the late 80s at 22 years old. He's kind of brash, hair slicked back, big tie. And we were like, oh, I don't know. Well, it's like 30 years later. he has signed, negotiated over $250 million this offseason in the craziest pandemic-fueled free agency period ever, where stars are on the market and some are getting big money, a lot of his clients. And Drew Rosenhaus, NFL super agent, now joining us live.
I'm here, Colin.
Boom, there you go. Look at that. Look at the
I'm here. I'm on the move. I'm about to meet with a client to discuss free agency. So you got a guest in the field. Call me a field correspondent for you, for the Herd, Drew Rosenhaus, correspondent extraordinaire.
So you represent Aaron Jones. This is rare. So everybody, you know, for years and years, people thought, you know, Drew, his clients want the money. Well, no, Aaron Jones actually could have gotten more money. He's never been paid big. He decided value, it's more valuable to be in Green Bay. And that's a risk to me as a running back. Did Aaron Jones come to you and just say, it's not about the money because I can make more money elsewhere? How did that deal come about?
Well, we had three major clients, Colin, that ultimately decided that they were going to take less money in free agency to stay with their respective teams. One of them you mentioned was Aaron Jones. The other one was Shaq Barrett. And another one is Rob Gronkowski. Aaron has had four great years in Green Bay. His skill set is just phenomenal in that Green Bay offense, playing with Aaron Rodgers is just superb. They were in the NFC Championship game. There's such a premium. He's been one of the most electrifying offensive players in the NFL. Why would we change that? You know, it's not just about getting the most money. It's actually seeing that contract and playing that deal out and earning that money. And that doesn't happen. There were a lot of free agents this year that got cut after 1 year. Kyle Van Noy, Emmanuel Sanders, and others signed free agent deals last year and then wound up being released after 1 year. They changed teams. I like to say that when our clients stay with the same coaching staff, the same system, with a winning organization like Aaron Jones did with Green Bay, like Gronk did in Tampa, Shaq Barrett in Tampa, how do you leave a Super Bowl champ? How do you leave an NFC champion? How do you leave teams that are the best in the league and you fit their system and you've been successful? Shaq led the league in sacks a year ago, took over in the playoffs this year. Gronk had another Super Bowl. He's playing with this guy, Brady. These guys could have gotten more money elsewhere, but you want to stay where you're successful and earn the money and play out your contracts and win.
Yeah. You know, years ago, I was talking to, I forget who the GM was, and I said, what's Rosenhaus like to deal with it? He goes, you know, it's funny. He goes, the perception with you media guys is he's tough. He said, Drew calls up. He goes, I'm in and out of the phone call in 90 seconds because he knows what he's doing, and he bottom lined you. He goes, Drew's actually pretty easy to deal with. He said, it's not always about money. He takes care of his clients. So, and I'm not just sucking up to you. I've said this before on the air. So it's interesting. You and Belichick, from the outside, you'd think, oh boy, this is going to just be boom, boom. It's not going to work. But Belichick's leaned on you a ton. And what is it like for you to deal with Bill? Take me behind the rope a little bit.
It's great dealing with Bill because he's the decision maker. It's great dealing with Coach Belichick because he calls the shots in the New England organization. And it's a lot better dealing with a decision maker who's the coach and the negotiator and the general manager. And as opposed to dealing with a guy who's just negotiating contracts and has to go back to two or three other people that he's trying to impress. So I really enjoy dealing with Coach Belichick because when you make a deal with him, you're making a deal with the decision maker, and that's super productive as far as negotiations go. And that really goes a long way towards getting deals done. And that's why this isn't anything new. I've negotiated many deals with Coach Belichick over a 30-year span. I can go all the way back to the late 80s when he drafted one of our clients when he was coaching the Cleveland Browns, and we negotiated that deal together. So it's not an exaggeration to say that I've been negotiating contracts with Coach Belichick for three decades. And because of that respect that I have for him, we're able to get things done. And I find that you cut through all the BS and you can get to the numbers and the bottom line. And that's very refreshing for both of us.
What happens, Drew, and I'm sure you've had this, where a player comes to you and wants to demand a trade? The Deshaun Watson situation jumps out, obviously, this year. Is sometimes it goes public, sometimes it doesn't. When a player comes to you and says, Drew, I want out, what is your first reaction?
Is it in your best interest? Is it in your best interest to be traded, or is it in your best interest to find a way to make it work? Sometimes situations can be resolved. I've had clients that were unhappy with the respective teams, and we sat down with the organization and we worked it out. If I agree with the client that the trade's in his best interest, then I absolutely will embrace that. We have a number of clients that get traded every year. We had Carlos Dunlap, who was traded at the trade deadline this year. He went from Cincinnati to Seattle, and that made a lot of sense because, Cincinnati wasn't using him much in their scheme, and Seattle was a great fit, and Carlos got to go play in a 4-3 as opposed to a 3-4, and that worked out really well for him. So, I mean, in hindsight, you've got to support your client, but not be a yes man. If it is in their best interest, you support them. If it's not in their best interest, then you tell them why they should try and make it work, and maybe a trade's not best. I have clients all the time who say to me, I want to be traded. And it can be frustration. It can be out of a variety of reasons. And you got to calm down and make sure it's for the best.
Hey, tell me what veteran Drew Rosenhaus would tell 22-year-old Drew Rosenhaus today. If you could sit him down and say, hey, partner, slow down on this, lean into that. Where have you grown as you look back at you?
I think there's a lot of things that come to mind that come with experience. I believe, for one, having poise. I think poise is really important when you're dealing with your clients and you're dealing with teams. Staying calm, losing your temper never really helps in a negotiation, being belligerent or yelling or being overly aggressive or using the media to negotiate contracts. Those are things that I've really kind of weeded out of my career over the last 30 years. Haven't had many holdouts. Don't really use the media to pressure teams in negotiations anymore. And I think the other one is just being brutally honest with your clients. Having the guts to tell them what they don't want to hear. Letting them know what is in their best interest and not what will be popular with them. Not being afraid of getting fired. I think there are too many agents that are scared of getting fired by their clients. And, we'll simply, tell them what they want to hear. And that is not in their best interest. So those are probably the main areas that I would say I've improved the most over the last 33 years that I've been in the business.
By the way, the Jonnu Smith to the Patriots jumped out to me as a really smart signing. Because I thought what was interesting, Belichick acknowledged, listen, I missed on my draft picks last year. I just didn't do well. And you know how it is, Drew, sometimes the greatest strength is admitting your weaknesses and not being rigid and just saying, hey, I whiffed on one. Do you find most NFL people, because Belichick has no problem admitting he makes mistakes. The Jonnu Smith one jumped out to me is just absolute perfect fit. Did Jonnu want to go to the Patriots, or did you push that one?
Oh, he was definitely excited about the Patriots. He knows, listen, Gronk, I've mentioned, Gronkowski is one of our clients. And I saw firsthand what Rob Gronkowski, you know, he built a Hall of Fame career. I think he's been the best tight end in the history of the NFL during his time with the Patriots. So why wouldn't you want to go play for Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick when you're an agent? And I've been very fortunate to represent so many great tight ends in my career that have had long careers, like Greg Olsen and Benjamin Watson and Jeremy Shockey. And we represent a lot of great tight ends in the NFL, including a young star in David Njoku.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of experience in that position, and I was able to guide Jonnu, and he absolutely embraced playing for New England. That was something that he thought was a real positive, and he was very pleased to join a great organization and a team that's very tight end friendly over the years.
Good. Well, you got the Shaq Barrett deal done, and I didn't know if they could fit that one under. So good for you. And you're right now having, let's see, it's 11:20. So you're just having lunch and a cocktail. And who's the client you're meeting with, Drew?
Well, that is confidential. I wouldn't want to tip a team off. He's supposed to be meeting with another club, and I'm playing some negotiating games right now. So you caught me in an awkward position. This player is supposed to be in an NFL city, and I told another club he was on a flight, and he's actually meeting with me. I use every trick in the trade to try and get our guy signed and create leverage. So I wasn't here today, right?
That's right. Well, Drew was not in Miami today. It's great seeing you, Drew. Thanks again.
Thanks, Colin. Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.